Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. And as we do, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 4. I really love the way that Proverbs at the beginning, it starts out with a lot more conversational type of instruction, and then later on it moves to the actual Proverbs themselves, the short sayings that you can memorize in order to remember, to be wise. But here he's talking about this idea of how we are to be involved with wisdom. And I want to draw a line here really quickly before we get started on what is the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You go to a university to seek knowledge. You go to a school to seek knowledge. Wisdom is a little bit different. You see, knowledge puffs up, the Bible says, but love edifies. Now, I want you to think about that for just a second. I love marshmallows. I love Rice Krispie treats because they're made out of marshmallows, okay? I really like bread that is nice and soft and puffy, right? That I don't like bread that's, have you ever had bread that's so thick and hard that it's like, you're chewing on it for 10 minutes and you can't seem to get it down, and you know, like the gluten-free stuff. It's just terrible, it's awful, it's nasty. You're gonna die and they're gonna find that biscuit in your belly still, you know? It's just gonna be there for years. And so I like things that are airy and nice, and I like things that are soft and fluffy, but at the same time, they're not full. They're empty inside, okay? That's why bread, when it rises, you have carbon dioxide being made by the yeast, and that causes little air pockets, and that makes it fluffy and soft. But I don't want my steak that way. I don't want steak with holes in it, or Swiss cheese steak, you know, where they've taken out parts of the inside in order to make it a little bit lighter in weight and other things. And so think about something that is filled with air. Knowledge, it says, puffs up. There's a really awesome fish called a puffer fish. I don't know if you've ever seen one. Whenever they freak out, they suck in a whole bunch of air or water, and they have these spikes. So they look huge, but in reality, what are they? They're nothing. It's just water. And if the other animal comes and actually eats it, there's really no defense there except for its size. And it looks big and looks tough, but it's full of hot air, or water in that case. And I know a lot of people out there who can rattle off some information. They can quote this Bible verse or that verse here, and they have this doctrine that they believe in or that doctrine that they believe in, but in the end, it's all hot air. It's all just a little bit of information that they think they know, but it doesn't mean anything. Now, the Bible says knowledge puffs up. So knowledge is inflating something bigger than what it should be. It makes it bigger than reality. It makes it seem bigger than it really is. And so I have known many, many people with a PhD, a doctorate, and they don't necessarily do anything with that knowledge. They are puffed up. They have the letters after their name, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they will accomplish anything in life. Now, the Bible says love puffs up. How many of you know one of these self-inflated people who's puffy and they think they are the best because they have some letters after their name, or they studied this, or they know this little piece of information, and that makes them better than everyone else? But then he goes on to say love what? Edifies. Now, that word edify is to build up. I want you to think about doing it at a construction site when you're using concrete block, okay? And you mix up some cement, and what do you do with it? Love is going to go out there, and it's going to take the blocks, and it's going to take the cement and the sand, it's going to mix them all together, and it's going to build a house. But the word there isn't just to build in a simple sense of a little bit of wood and a little bit of timber, maybe some drywall, and we'll make a house over you. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is that love edifies. Love raises a foundation. That's the technical term. And I want you to think about it like this. How many of you have seen the pyramids before? Anybody seen the pyramids, the Great Pyramids of Egypt, right? Okay. Now, they've just found a whole bunch of foundations that have been laid that were buried in the sand. And they're finding them with satellites and geothermal imaging and all this other stuff. And guess what they're finding? There's lots of these foundations for pyramids that are buried under the sand. Now, in order to raise up a pyramid, what do? You put a whole bunch of stone, lay it out flat, and cover the entire area, and that's what the pyramid will be built on top of. So if you really wanted to hold up something heavy, maybe, and in Nicaragua they do this all the time, when they're gonna work on cars, they don't trust jack stands. You know, little bottle jacks that you put under your car to raise it up to change a tire? They don't trust those there because they'll slip out. It's all muddy and it's rainy and it's wet. So what do? They actually build concrete ramps that you drive the car up on top of, so the car is sitting on something solid and there's a little bit of space in between the ramps that you can crawl in between and work on the car from underneath. And it's guaranteed not to fall down on you. Why? Because it's a solid base in which on which you can support a heavy load. And this that word edify, love puffs up but or knowledge puffs up but love edifies, is saying that love builds such a solid foundation that whatever heavy troubles are above it, they are raised up. So it has this idea of an immovable platform that you can put something on. So you might be able to use air to fill yourself up and make yourself look bigger, but love makes others, raises other people up that they would not fall down again. And that's the idea behind wisdom. Wisdom is an action based on information. Love is an action based on your heart. And so wisdom and love go hand in hand in the Bible. For God so loved the world, because of the love that God had, He gave the action. The love motivated an action. So love is action. Love is not just, well, God loves us, too bad we're all dying and going to hell. It's that God does love us, therefore He acted. Someone with knowledge, on the other hand, would say, I know that the people are dying. I know that their sin has caused them to go to hell. I know that there's condemnation. That's too bad. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. One of the greatest ways that you can look at that is when Jesus talked about in the New Testament, there's a Pharisee praying, if you remember, and there was a tax collector next to him, and it said that the Pharisee said, God, thank you for not making me like this heathen, nasty old tax collector, IRS guy. Thank you for making me so much better. He had a little bit of knowledge, and that puffed him up. But love edifies. And that tax collector, he had felt the love of the Lord, and he said, God, forgive me of my sin. That's what love does. Love brings forgiveness. Love edifies. Love builds up in such a way that the person cannot fall back down again. It brings them to Christ. It causes a change. It changes things. It is an action. Now, knowledge is not bad in and of itself, but the fact is that if you have knowledge, you must act upon it. And so here, wisdom is the action, is action upon knowledge. So wisdom is taking knowledge that you have and applying it in such a way that you can edify or build others up. That's the important key that Solomon is trying to say. Don't just seek knowledge. See how you might apply it, that you might help others. And so here in chapter 4 of Proverbs, starting with that, he says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me, and he said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Now I want you to see here in these first few verses, he gives us a source of information, but also wisdom. Now notice he says here that you should be seeking wisdom. And the whole first 13 verses of this chapter are about how we are to search for wisdom. And the first way that we are supposed to search for wisdom, and this is so important, because in our society today, a lot of youth are writing this off, and that is seek wisdom from your spiritual elders. Seek wisdom from your spiritual elders. Now think about this for just a minute. He's saying, listen, son, do not forsake my law. Do not, he says, give attention. to my to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Now, there are people out there who will lead you astray. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, there are some really messed up people out there. There are some people out there who say that they're Christians, and then they're going to tell you some really weird stuff. Anybody know somebody like that? I do. I know a lot of them like that. And I've heard of Christians. I knew of this family that the young daughter was in love with some young boy, and the parents, her parents, were telling her to go have a sexual relationship with her boyfriend before she got married, because you have to try before you buy, right? No! That's ridiculous. And so you have to be careful. You have to be careful, because the Lord, He's very, very specific. We don't just listen to people who are over us because they're over us. We have to make sure that what they give us is good. So notice what He says, for I give good doctrine. You can take what I'm saying and compare it to God's word, and it is true and righteous and holy. I give good doctrine. So you need to find people in your life. You need to look for people in your life that will instruct you in God's word and that will teach you the truth in righteousness. This is a key issue, because there are a lot of people going to a lot of sources to get information from today. Oh, just because the internet says it's true doesn't make it true. And that's been since the beginning of the internet, 25 years ago, before some of you were even born. The internet has not always been truthful. It's never been truthful in the history of the internet. There's always been issues with it. And some people go to school, and it's sad that today you can't even trust much of what your teachers are telling you if you're in school, because they're teaching many lies. And it's not and by the way, this is nothing new. Schools have always been fraught with lies. They've always been, I mean, if you went to school in Germany in the first two world wars, you were taught that everybody else is evil and the planet's getting overcrowded, we need to exterminate people. You were taught all kinds of weird stuff. And the kids just said, oh, I guess that's true, and let's go adhere to this information. And that's where you have to be careful. Remember, the Apostle Paul was teaching in the church in Berea, and they said, well, in the synagogue in Berea, and they said, well, you come back tomorrow. And that whole night, they were up in the scriptures, looking up everything that he said to compare it and make sure it was true. There are a lot of people getting led astray today because they don't seek good doctrine. They don't seek God's word. They don't go back and compare what other people are teaching them, their sources of information, with God's word. Just because somebody says it's okay doesn't mean it's all right. And I want to challenge you to look at what he says here. He says very specifically, I give you good doctrine. Now, where can you find good doctrine from God's word? Now, parents, for you, that means you need to be teaching your children God's word. Husbands, the Bible says you need to be washing your wife in the word, and you should be instructing your children in God's word. There's the fastest way to mess up your entire life is to not know what God said about a subject. To not know what God says about your investments or about your marriage or about your children or about your career or about your pastimes or about any of these things. If you don't know what God is teaching you on the subject, then you don't have wisdom. And if you have any issues, if you ever ask me for counseling, all counseling is to me is sharing God's word with you. That's all I'm going to do. You're going to tell me your problems. I'm going to share God's word with you. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm not going to give you what I think. I'm not going to give you, because that doesn't matter. What matters is God's word. And here he's telling his son, you need to listen to my doctrine. Why? Because it's good doctrine. Now, in this case, Solomon was the wisest guy in the entire world. And say, listen to him. But in the case that Jesus said of the Pharisees, do what he says, not what he does. Because he had great wisdom from his mouth, but his actions were terrible with his wives and his family. And notice what he says here. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me. And he said to me, let your heart retain my words and keep my commands and live. Find someone who has wisdom, who knows God's word, who teaches good doctrine, and the idea is to latch onto them. Make yourself a disciple. of Jesus Christ, Paul said to his disciples, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And one of the things that we are to do is we are to find people in our lives, and it can be your pastor or a leader from church or your parents or a good friend who knows God's word and who walks in God's word. And you find them and you latch on to them and you listen and you study and you let your heart retain my words and keep my commands. So it's not just about hearing the words, but being doers of the word also. You need to raise up for yourself. You need to find someone in your life who can hold you accountable spiritually, who can give you wisdom, and who will teach you God's word. And when you have issues, that they'll be there for you, they'll pray for you, and they'll continue to instruct you in God's word. The second thing we need to see is in verse 5 through 9. So the first thing was seek wisdom from your spiritual elders. The second thing is in verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. I love it. It says an exclamation point after each one. This isn't like, yeah, you should probably find some wisdom, man. You know, like you should like go look for some or something, you know. No, no, it's like get wisdom, get understanding. This is an excited command. This is something that, hey, it's like, come on, go get it. There's an urgency there. There's a heart of, hey, you've got to do this or else kind of idea. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all of your getting, get understanding while you're there. It's like, go rob the bank, get the gold bars. And if there's any cash, we'll grab that too. And in this case, the gold bars would be what? Wisdom. And the cash is understanding. It's right there. Take it with you. Now, I'm not advocating you go rob a bank, just to be clear. But the idea is that you should get it. Go grab it. Steal it away. Take it. Get it whatever you can. And it's that robber-like attitude, that idea that I'm going to go and do whatever it takes. I'm going to get past whatever barriers. I'm going to get past anything that's hindering me. And I'm going to get to the gold of wisdom and the cash of understanding. And he says this. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place you on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Now here is something really quite interesting. You ready? Guys, this might seem a little foreign to you. Ladies, you'll probably understand this a lot better. Wisdom here is being personified as a wife. I want you to look at this again. So guys, this is how you're supposed to treat your wife. Ladies, this is how a guy's supposed to treat you, but also this is how we're supposed to treat wisdom. You ready? Look at it again. Get wisdom, get understanding. So you find someone you love. How many of you have ever felt alone before you got married? Right? Before you got married, now after you got married, you should never feel alone again, right? But before you got married, you remember that feeling of loneliness, that feeling of even despair, how you couldn't stand it. Oh, I just want to get married. I hate eating TV dinners by myself on the couch. The only person I get to talk to is my cat, right? I mean, you hated that lifestyle. And so you found someone. You got wisdom. You got understanding. You finally grabbed some. You found a source of it. And man, you grabbed on. You found the person that you love. You finally married that person. You're in love. You're married. But what happens to couples after a few years? Look at the next part of the verse. Do not forget or turn away. Ha ha. Isn't that what happens as you grow older together and as you start to live together? You're at work and before, when you first met your wife or when you first met your husband, you thought about him all day and you were texting nonstop, or you were in my case, I was writing her letters and mailing them. They never got there, or emails or whatever, right? And you remember that when you would pass notes to each other and you would leave work early and you go to work late and you just wanted to spend all your time with that person. And man, it was awesome. But over time, what happens? You forget. Like throughout the day, you're at work and you've got so much going on. You don't even think about your spouse until on your drive home. And it's like, I hope they got dinner ready. It's not even, I can't wait to get home to my wife. It's like, I hope the house is clean, or I hope he didn't have a bad day and bring that home with us. What does he say? The first thing, once you find your wisdom, once you get married in that relationship with wisdom, once you get married in that relationship with your spouse, whether you're a man or a woman, it's irrelevant. Notice what he says. He says, don't forget and don't turn away. Guys, rule number one, remember your anniversary. Rule number two, remember her birthday. Other than that, who cares? Okay? That's the rule. Now, I got married and my wife's birthday was January 8th. We got married on June 8th and my first daughter was born on April 8th. It was amazing. On the 8th of every month, I brought something wonderful home. And she said, oh, you remembered. Of course I did. Oh, what is this for? Oh, just because I love you. I couldn't lose. Till Anna was born on July 17th, and she ruined everything. And from that point on, I don't remember any of their birthdays. I really don't. I know Abigail's. I know Anna's. I know my wife's birthday. After that, I don't know. I really don't. You can ask me. I barely know their names. I call them all honey. I don't remember their names. Okay? Guys, never forget your wife's birthday. Never forget your anniversary. Why? She should be the principal thing. She should be the love of your life. Don't forget that. Now, I want to take your attention, just remind you of something that Jesus said in the book of Revelation chapter 2 to the church in Ephesus. If you remember, Jesus said, this I have against you, that your love has grown cold. And how did it grow cold? Because they had forgotten their first love. And so what was Jesus' remedy to a cold heart and a forgotten love? Remember. Remember, that was the first thing he said. Remember from what height you have fallen, repent, and go back and redo the first works. Now, what is Solomon saying here? He says, get wisdom, get understanding, but once you get it, don't forget it. Because the minute that you forget it, you're like that deadbeat husband who forgot his anniversary. You need to be that person who doesn't forget, who's always mindful of it. You're keeping it in your mind at all times. Guys, throughout the day, you shouldn't forget that you're married. You got this little thing on your finger. Hopefully you guys got a little ring on your finger. Some of you have a tattoo where the ring goes. I've seen that before, right? Or their name on your arm or whatever. And still people forget that they're married. How do you forget? How can you possibly forget you're married unless you're falling out of love? And that's not her problem. That's your problem. It's not your spouse's fault. That's your issue. You need to remember. You need to keep that in the front of your mind. And with wisdom, it's the same way. Once you find it, keep it. Don't let go of it. Remember. And so there's a few ways that I've done this in the past. I've written 3x5 cards. And on my verse of the day, back in when I was in college, I would write on a 3x5 card. I'd write the verse of the day. Now, nowadays, you have your phone, right? And you do everything on your phone. Your phone, your phone, your phone, your phone, your phone, your phone, your phone. I get it. You love your phone. You're always on it. Go to the bank. See how many people are actually standing there. Nobody. They're all doing Pokemon battles in line at the bank. You're always on. Some of you are on your phone right now. Matter of fact. Drives me nuts, but that's okay. Your phone is so important. So maybe make a little note. You can make a little alarm on your phone that every 15, 20 minutes it pops up and says, hey, verse of the day. And boom, there you go. And you memorize that verse throughout the day. You memorize God's word. You learn God's word. And if you have a bad memory, keep the same verse until you memorize it, but just work on it. Don't forget. You know, it's really funny. I was at a facility this last week and I was talking to somebody and they say, hey, do you have a picture of your wife? And I said, oh, no, not on my phone. And they're like, how do you not have a picture of your wife on your phone? Well, I mean, I have one on there somewhere. But I do have something else that I carry with me wherever I go. Before we even got married, my wife lost her passport when she went to Nicaragua. And she was down there and we were coming back from Costa Rica with a big team of people. She lost her passport. I had to go into town and I was madly in love with this girl. And so we had to get her picture taken and they forgot, we got extras and they didn't need them all. So here in my wallet, I keep two pictures of my wife from before we got married. They've been there since before I got married. They're 15 years old. And I keep her there, right there in my wallet, all the time. Every time I reach in there to get money out, every time I reach in there to open my wallet, there she is. She's always there. Can't forget. You can't forget. It's always there at the front of your mind. And that's what he's talking about. Do that for yourself. You keep God at the front of your heart, at the front of your mind. Don't forget. The minute you forget, you're that deadbeat guy who cheated on his wife, right? You can't just, oops, I forgot I was married. It doesn't work that way. And ladies, it's not just guys who do it, right? So he says, get wisdom, find the relationship, And then don't lose it. Don't forget. Don't turn away. Some of you know you're married and you get so sick and tired of your spouse that you want to turn away or run away. And he says, don't do that either. You stick it out. You focus. You know, one of the worst things that you can see today in society is high-speed trading. And what that does is that it really undermines whole companies and it hurts people long-term and financially. It used to be you would invest in a company you believed in, and as it grew, so did you. Nowadays, you invest for 10 seconds over here and then 20 seconds over there and 15 seconds over there, and you just shuffle money around all day hoping that it multiplies. That's not the way that wisdom works. Wisdom says, no, stick it out. You know, if I plant a tree today, I'm going to wait 10 years until it grows up and bears fruit. I'm not going to just cut it. Oh, tomorrow it didn't bear fruit. Too bad. I'm going to cut it down. No, that's not the way it works. Don't turn away. And maybe your marriage is in a bad spot today. Maybe you're going through a rough patch. Maybe you're going through a tough time. Maybe you guys aren't seeing eye to eye, or you're fighting and you're arguing about something. It doesn't matter. Don't turn away. Don't give up on your investment. I've heard of people getting divorced after 25 years of marriage. Are you kidding me? You just invested a quarter century of your life. Stick it out. You're almost dead anyway. I got news for you. Middle age is not 40. How many 80-year-olds do you know? Middle age is like 25, 30. Okay, that's the average age of a United States citizen is 65 to 75 years old. Middle age is like 30 or 40. I want you to think about that the next time that, I mean, you just invested 25 years of your life. You probably got married around 25. You're now 50 years old. You've only got a third of your life left. And you're going to start all over again? Come on, stick it out. Stick it out. Don't turn away. Wisdom is the same way. If I'm using wisdom, it may not seem like a good investment at the moment because, you know, investments, they go up and they go down, don't they? But it doesn't matter. Investments should be more like real estate, less like the stock exchange. In real estate, if you buy houses and you rent them out for profit, right? The value of the home goes up and the value of the home goes down. I was just contacted by my realtor. My house has doubled in value since I bought it. It's awesome. And he's like, you want to sell? I'm like, no. I need a place to live. I kind of need a roof over my head. I need a house. And so if you rent out houses, if you buy a house and then you rent it out, doesn't matter if the economy is up and the housing market's up, or if the housing market is down, you're still getting the rent from your house, right? So what do you care? Long term, you're always going to go up, even if the housing market goes up and down. But if you're trying to buy and flip and buy and flip and buy and flip, if you're not sticking it out for the long haul, if you're just turning away all of a sudden, then you're going to lose money. Why? Because, well, the market is, it's not a buyer's market right now. So you're going to sell and you're going to lose money. The idea is to stick it out long term. You'll always benefit if you make to your commitments. And what else does he say? Do not forsake her. Do not forsake her. Don't cheat on wisdom. Have you ever done that? Have you ever cheated on wisdom? Think about this for a minute. Consider wisdom to be your wife. Consider wisdom to be your spouse, your husband. And you cheat on him. Now think about that for just a minute. Is that ever going to turn out well? Is that ever going to benefit you at all? And the answer is absolutely unequivocally no, it's not. If you cheat on wisdom, that's called foolishness. If you get drunk one time, get behind the wheel of your car and kill somebody, you forsook wisdom once. Does it matter? No, you can never go back. What happens if you get drunk and you go into your boss's office with a baseball bat and beat him up? But it was only one time. You're going to prison. You're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose everything. It doesn't matter if it was only one time. What if you put a gun up to your head and pull the trigger? It was only once. But you forsook. You cheated on wisdom. You went the opposite way. And the consequences can be very, very daunting. Just because Jesus forgave you doesn't mean the consequences of your sin disappear magically. If you sleep around and get an STD, and then you ask the Lord to forgive you and you repent, that's great. He will forgive you. But that doesn't take away the consequences of your sin. If you get pregnant outside of marriage, just because you ask for forgiveness doesn't take away the baby or the consequences of your sin. That you'll have to deal with for the rest of your life. And sadly, There are so many times in our lives where we do not deal with sin, we forsake wisdom, and what happens? Now we're stuck with the consequences. Never cheat on your spouse. And what does he say? Never cheat on wisdom. Wisdom, he says, love her and she will keep you. Guys, you should know this. Love your wife. She'll take care of you. How many of you can honestly say your wife takes good care of you? Yeah, we need that, don't we, guys? Love her and she'll take care of you. Now, there's an old saying, hell knows no wrath like a woman's scorn. You ever heard that saying before? That means if you don't love your wife and you make her angry, that's going to be a bad day for everybody. That's what that saying means. Guys, you need to love your wife. You need to love wisdom. You need to have a desire for wisdom. You need to seek after wisdom. You need to run after it. You need to treat it tenderly. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. Look down real quick in verse 8. Exalt her. Guys, what should you do with your wife? Never badmouth your wife to anybody else. Never do it, guys. Ladies, don't have a gossip fest with your girlfriends and start badmouthing your husband. Nothing good will come of this. Exalt your husband. I love Proverbs 31. You know what Proverbs 31 says? Her husband and her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Husbands, you should be exalting your wife. Now, if she's irritating you, it doesn't matter. Find something in her life that she did well. Maybe you have to go home and say, well, you didn't burn the place down. That's good. And you're still here. That's good. And the kids are all alive, so that's good. I mean, you can find something, okay? She's still with you, right? She's patient with you. That's good. Find some way to exalt your wife. And I'm going to guarantee you that she's probably got a lot to be exalted for. And you should recognize those things that she's done. So this idea of seeking wisdom is to be in love. Now think about it this way. Love is an action. So you should be in love with wisdom. You should treat it like your spouse. You should treat wisdom as if it's you're married to it, and you should pursue it, and you should keep it close to your heart. You should remember it. You should never forsake it, just as if it was your spouse. The final thing, and with this we'll close, is in verse 10 through 13. He says, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. And I want you to the last thing that you should remember is that you should seek wisdom through remembering. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. How many of you have been taught wisdom? All of us, right? Sometimes I remember things that my dad used to tell me. I haven't thought about them for years. I haven't thought about those things that he told me for years. But all of a sudden, a situation will pop up, and what will I do? I'll remember something that my dad said. So many people work so hard at forgetting their past. I want to remember the good things that my father taught me, or that my pastor taught me, or that my mother taught me. I want to remember wisdom. What does he say? Hear my son and receive my sayings. I have taught you, past tense, in the way of wisdom. I have led, past tense. So when you walk, you need to remember those things. Those things that I've already shown you need to be on your mind and on your heart. Don't always just look for a new way, a new method, a new wisdom, a new knowledge. Sometimes people are so caught up in finding something new that they forget that which they've already received. So here he says, keep her, for she is your life. Don't let go. And I want to challenge you today to seek out wisdom. Find spiritual people who will share God's word with you on a regular basis. Go before the Lord and ask him to remind you of those things that you've been taught. Ask the Lord, and then treat wisdom like it's your spouse. And by the way, treat your spouse better, both men and women. Cherish them, keep them close to you. Look past any faults, stick it out long term. Do not let go, do not forsake her. And as you do these things, he has a number of promises. She is your life, wisdom is your life. If you do this well, your life will do well. And if you do this poorly, your life will do poorly. So my challenge to you today is consider your life and ask yourself, am I seeking out wisdom, or do I have foolish friends who convince me to do dumb things? Do I have people in my life that take me away from wisdom rather than they push me towards wisdom? And as you do, then make the right adjustments so that you will follow after wisdom, the search for wisdom. So Father, as we come before you this afternoon, we pray that you would just continue to teach us, and Father, help lead us to a place in our lives where we might serve you, Lord, where we might seek wisdom. And as we come before you right now, we pray, as we prepare for communion, that Lord, that you would just prepare our hearts to receive communion, Lord, that you would guide us, and that you would help us to understand who you are, Father, and what you have for us. So today, as we come before you, we pray that you would just, Father, teach us in your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.